So how do you know when you hear a word in your mind or you sense something in your spirit, how do you know that it's from God and not just like yourself or like a thought from the enemy, anything like that? So to get into this, I'm going to introduce the panel. We have Queen Regan, center stage. So just a wealth of knowledge. And then on the right, we've got your man, Phil Mayberry. Phil is all things wise. He is the sage of our time. He is the rock of this group. He's a lot of things. So, okay. I'll pitch this to you first, Regan. Like when you maybe get a word from somewhere, something, how do you know if a word or a thought is like from God or not?
Yeah, this is definitely a question that I've had a lot and have thought many times. And to be honest, to an extent, like every time I hear something from God, I question this. You don't really get to a point where you're like,
sweet, I got it.
I know for sure. Yeah. Like, it's a healthy thing, I think, to be like, is this from God or is this not from God? And that's kind of a grid you have to run things through all the time, like every single day. And for me, I would say that this question is way more about the long game. And what I mean by that is that the better you know God's voice by the way that you know his word, the more you'll be able to figure this out. So to be able to answer this question, like the first step I would say is just start reading the Bible. I would say the more that I've read the Bible, the more that I've like studied what God's voice sounds like, the easier this question gets to answer. And I would say just like, even if you hear a word and you're like, does this align with scripture? Like Google it, start asking them like, what does the Bible say about this? Or what, ask someone wise in your life that knows God's word really well. So I would say just start getting to know the voice of God well through reading his word. And then also talk to someone wise in your life that knows God really well and ask them, does this sound like God? And I would say that if it sounds like God, if it aligns with his word, then likely you can step out in faith and follow it. Like if it's aligned with his word, it sounds like his voice and it's going to be like something that leads you and whoever else is involved closer to God, then I would say like step out in faith and follow it. And like the more that you step out in faith in response to words that sound like God are aligned with his word and will bring you and others closer to him, you'll get to know even better and better. Like, oh, that was definitely God because look at what happened. Or that was definitely God because like that word resonated with that person or whatever it is. And you start to understand, I think, even greater and greater what his voice sounds like.
So good. Phil Mayberry, how would you answer that question? What's your kind of grid? Can you see the mic?
Yeah, I think I agree with everything that Regan said. And just I think to add on is like reading the Gospels has been really important for me. Like hearing like—
Ooh, why is that?
Because you get to actually like hear like how Jesus speaks. And so it's just like you're actually hearing like what Jesus says, like what Jesus said to his disciples in certain situations, how did Jesus correct his disciples? It's not always, we don't only just hear like happy things from God. It doesn't mean that it's something because it's negative, it's from the devil, or that it's positive, it's from God.
Right.
It's like Jesus like said, get behind me, Satan, to Peter, right?
That's tough.
And so it's like, how do
that's objectively tough. 100%. Could you imagine him saying that to you?
Just in the prayer time, just like a little smack upside the head, being like, get behind me, dude. But I think it's like you get to hear like how he encourages, how he corrects, how he guides, how he like invites people in. And so I think like the reading the Gospels, like, and having that being a consistent, like I really try to make it a practice, like when I'm like in my best of like seeking God, like I actually don't leave the Gospels. Like I'm like constantly like reading like one of the Gospels, even if it's just like a small passage or something from, just so I'm hearing the voice of Jesus, like verifiably like what he said, so that when I, it almost like tunes my ear to be able to hear the things that he has to say. Another thing is like, from Galatians chapter 6, it says, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Mm-hmm. And whoever sows to please the spirit from the spirit will reap eternal life. And I think like a good marker for me is like, if this tangibly, physically benefits me and like from what like I am like wanting from the flesh, not from the spirit, when I'm not like seeking after like spiritual things, but what I'm wanting, like fleshly desires, like the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the desires of life, And whenever there's like something that is going to satisfy one of those things, typically like I have pause where I'm like, this probably is like me reading something in based on my own like evil desires and maybe not the desires of God. Sometimes God's like will is completely aligned with like a very earthly thing that I want. But I think like when I'm actually like listening to the voice of God, when I'm sowing in the spirit and when I'm like looking for things, a lot of times what God is challenging me to do or what God is asking me to do is something that takes sacrifice, is something that like gets me out of my comfort zone, is something that's aligned with what Jesus did, like as he was doing his ministry. And those aren't the things that I would automatically like be thinking of myself. And so we're testing, like, would this require the spirit for me to step into? Would this require the spirit for me to say this to this person? Would this require the spirit for me to walk in this action that he's calling me to? And that normally that's a pretty good indication that if I'm going to need the spirit's help in order to accomplish the thing that he has asked me to do, it's probably something that's from him that only he could sustain.
Yeah, that's good. So Powell right now is learning how to roll over, which is like really fun. But like, I'm not angry at him that he's not like running marathons yet. You know what I mean? And I feel like a lot of us, when it comes to this topic, like we want to like be spiritual giants, like right out the gate. And the truth is it takes time. But yet I don't think that it's actually okay for us to just live in a spirit of like fear and suspicion. Because what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, this is actually super helpful. Because like in leading rooms like this and leading environments like this, I don't want to put words in God's mouth that he's not saying. Like, do you know how terrifying that is to be like, you know, like accountable to that? But at the same time, Paul gives us a paradigm that he doesn't want us to live within like a ton of fear, or skepticism, or cynicism. And he says this, is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good and reject every kind of evil. And I love that because it's like, I don't want to quench the spirit. Like, I don't want to be so skeptical and doubtful about God's active movement in the world that I just put my fingers in my ears and just don't. I think that all of this is just like for a distant time. This is for now, but it's like, how do you keep a soft heart? And it's literally what we've been teaching about, like the grid that you can run these things through. How many of you remember the ABCD grid? I heard the sixth grade girls, or maybe it was the eighth grade girls. You guys were rattling this off. Is this word or is this thing that God gave you, is it affirming? Like Paul says that prophecy is strengthening, encouraging, and comforting. Like, does it bring affirmation? Is it biblical? Meaning, does it line up with God's word, what Reagan said? C, is it Christ-like? Like Phil said, does this thing sound like Jesus? And then D is double check. And this is why your leaders are in the room. This is why your friends are here with you. Please, please, please. And I still do this. And I'm like years into trying and working through this, growing in this. Please run prophetic words and senses by your leaders and by each other. Don't just like say, oh, God told me, and then just go do stuff. Like, that's why we're here as a family. That's why in pre-gathering prayer, when we gather up prophetic words, we want to test them all. Like, you can pitch out anything that you want, but then we take in all of those prophetic words, and us as a youth staff, we pray through which ones are for the room, which ones are for the entire group, but it's a safe place for you to try. So that's what I would say is like, just don't quench the spirit, but just know that you can grow in this over time. So that's question number one. You guys ready for question number two? Here we go. Question number two is, drum roll please. Boom. Okay. So why do I feel the Holy Spirit's presence sometimes and not all the time, or maybe not ever? Okay. Why does it feel like I might be being punished or cut off from him if I don't experience the feeling of his presence? Okay, so talk about this a little bit in your group. Why do you think that like sometimes we can sense God's nearness more than other times? Like, that's kind of a weird concept. And then I don't know if this has ever been your experience, but you feel like, man, it's a hard, I'm confused. I haven't heard from God. I haven't sensed his nearness in a while. Is this like a punishment for me? Am I doing something wrong? Would love for you guys to talk about that in your group. Another 5 to 7 minutes. Ready, set, go. All right, Phil, bring us into this conversation a little bit. Like, feeling God's presence, sensing his nearness, is something that can, like, come and go. And I think, yeah, that question's very real of, like, and we were talking up here, like, there have been seasons of our lives, like, all three of us up here on stage, every one of your leaders, I would assume, that has felt varying levels of, like, God's presence, his nearness to us, maybe his specific direction to our lives, and then certain seasons where that's just not as present. So I'd be curious, Phil, how you process that, how you think about that.
Yeah, I think I'm going to talk about, like, one season of my life where it just felt like I went through the season of God where I felt like God was just, like, shouting at me, and I just felt like, in a good way, where it was so easy to, like, hear his voice, and just, like, felt like daily I'm just, like, hearing from him, getting a download of, like, what I should do, like, how, like, the things in me that I need to, like, grow in, the things, like, in the world that he wants me to be pursuing. And then just, like, after, like, a season of walking in that, I just felt like a season of where it was just, like, everything just felt, like, further away. It felt like I was just, like, hearing whispers of his voice, like, and I'm just like, why is it such a struggle? Like, what did I do wrong? Like, what happened? And I really, like, was challenged by the fact that, like, Colossians 1 says that we're supposed to be growing, like, in the knowledge of God. And I had, like, a good word from a mentor that basically said that sometimes when we're not hearing God's voice, one of those reasons can be is that God is inviting us into deeper waters, and we're still looking for him, like, on the shore. And so, like, when we've been so used to, like, hearing from God in, like, in a very specific context or through a specific practice, sometimes he's, like, actually asking us to, like, step out in faith and to be a little bit more bold and to pursue him, like, maybe, like, a deeper level of consecration or, like, a deeper level of, like, pursuing God, to the point where it's, like, Peter only got to encounter walking on the water because he was the only one that was willing to get out of the boat, you know? So it's, like, he was able to, like, everyone was able to hear from Jesus' teaching when Jesus was in the boat, but, like, there was a special relationship that Peter had with Jesus when he was, like, willing to listen to him and get out of the boat. And so I think, like, there's, like, that invitation to step into, like, a deeper level of obedience or a deeper level of, like, your, like, maturity in Christ. And so sometimes you're not hearing him as clearly because it's literally an invitation to move closer to me as, like, I'm leading us to where we should go.
Yeah, that's good. Regan, how would you respond to this question?
Yes, I so agree with everything Phil said. Those are, like, all things I feel like I've also heard wise counsel on and experienced in my life. Something that actually today I was really hit with personally on this is not quite as fun as seeking out new depths of God. But I was in the prayer room today and someone prayed this. They prayed, God, rid me of lesser loves that are pushing out love for you. And I think what I felt like God was speaking to me today about this was that sometimes we can fill our lives with lesser things in ways that actually just silence the voice of God in our lives. And it doesn't have to be like a shaming, like, oh, I hate, I don't know. You don't have to go into a place of shame about that. But I think sometimes when you feel like you're not able to hear the voice of God, it's like wise to ask God, is there anything in my life that's right, keeping me from hearing it? And, you know, yes, honestly, I have at times looked at other people and been like, why does she hear so much from God and I'm not? And then I talk to that whoever, you know, and I find out, like, oh, she's spending so much time in God's word. She's, like, really leveraged her life to seek God, and I'm, like, addicted to social media and spending so much time, like, in other places, or, like, spending so much time just seeking things that are completely silencing the voice of God for me. So I think sometimes God's had to be like, Regan, you have some idols that,
yeah,
those are what's in your view, so you can't see me. So, like, get rid of those and seek me and you'll find me. But when I'm seeking other things, I'm finding other things. So yeah, that's something that God really convicted me of today, honestly.
Yeah, that's good. I think that like, awareness is huge because we know that the reality, Psalm 139 says, where could I go from your presence? Where could I flee from your spirit? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I'm in, like, the center of the earth, you're there. If I'm, like, across the earth, you're there. It's like there's nowhere that we can go that God is not. But we also read in Genesis chapter 28, this moment where this guy named Jacob, like, wakes up from a dream, and he says this line where he says, God was in this place and I wasn't aware of it. And like, I think sometimes in our lives, we just like don't have an awareness of him, and like waking up to his awareness like all throughout like our day. Like, you should be getting hit with God's presence, not just when like Ben throws down like a nice pad on the Nord piano and you're at youth. Like, that's definitely like a time where I experience like God's nearness, but that's not like the only time and environment where God moves. Like, I would want a heightened sensitivity to hear God, where like I'm on the subway car weeping because I'm just getting a download about how much God cares about me, what God thinks about the people around me. I think that to Reagan's point, sometimes it's like lesser things that aren't that good, but then sometimes we're just like in blatant sin patterns that God is like, look, I want to like release you of that. So whether like whatever end of the spectrum you're on tonight, if you're like, honestly, I don't know that I'm like walking in like blatant sin, or you're all the way to like, you know, I feel like I'm stuck in a bunch of stuff. Like, there's a pathway for you to just like take your next step to like heighten the sensitivity. Like, I think about hearing God's voice kind of like a radio dial, you know? And we don't really use radios anymore, like really ever. So the analogy is like old, but like when you turn a knob and it's all this like static and whatever, and then you turn the knob to like a clear station, I feel like sometimes like we're just like searching around in the static, and God is like, look, I have a thing for you, but you've got to like tune yourself to the station to like hear him and sense him. So that's the next one. Guys, we've got one more, and then we're just going to kind of open the floor. So if you have a burning one that you just want to like hit us with that we'll just like live respond to, we're going to do that. We have some backup questions if literally no one has anything to say, but I don't sense that that will be true. But let's go one more question. Jason, could you go to question 3? Here we go. Okay. How do the youth leaders have such a good connection with God, especially Jason Fujikuni? That's in the Hebrew. But I struggle to hear him or see him move. How does it seem like some people have a better connection with God than I do? Okay, have you ever had that sense? Have you ever experienced that where like maybe you just see this like gap between the way that you hear God and sense God and move in the spirit and ways that you see other people? And like, why does that gap exist? Okay, so 5 to 7 minutes, chat about it. We'll be back in a second. Reagan, the question like of seeing the gap between maybe your relationship with God or how you move in the spirit versus someone who is like further along, like what do we do with that gap when we sense it?
Yeah, I would first say that if the enemy tries to get into your head with the lie of you'll never hear God like that person, you'll never know God like that person's just like extra holy or extra loved by God, like just acknowledge immediately that those are lies.
Right.
And that like, one, God loves speaking to young people. Yes. God loves using young people. So there's also no age requirement that's like, well, once you get to this age, like, it'll be great. Like, God speaks to young people. God loves to speak to young people. So just resist that lie. But then also, like, there's something actually pretty good, I think, about a bit of holy jealousy. I mean, I'm cautious of the word jealousy, but holy, like, I want to be like that. Like, look up to people of faith that you admire and ask them, like, how have you gotten to the point where you hear God like that? Like, what is it that God's done in your life that's, like, gotten you to this point in your faith? Like, look up to people. That's wonderful. But reject the lie that it will never be you. And then honestly, like, I think once you reject the lie, this will never be me, then just seek God and like get to know him, spend time with him. I think all people that like all people older than you, further along than you, whatever, who you look up to will probably just say like, I just love spending time with God. I've spent a lot of time with him. I've like listened to him for a long time and this is where God's brought me.
Amazing. Phil, how would you answer that?
Yeah, I think one like really practical thing is we've all just got it wrong way more times than you guys have. Like, we just have been able to learn from mistakes of like years and years of like getting it wrong. And hopefully, like, you guys are getting to benefit from a little bit of the ways and, like, not having to walk into the same mistakes. And, like, an encouragement is that, like, where I was when I was y'all's age, like, you guys are doing laps around, like, where I was. Like, the way that you guys hear God and, like, the way that you guys seek God and the way that you guys, like bring out, like, things from the Word. Like, you guys are, like, lapping me for days. Like, I'm, like, walking the mile right now, like, when I was your guys' age. So it's, like, there's, like, it's a long road. And so, like, and the second thing I want to say is, like, in the book of 1 Samuel, like, God speaks to Samuel. And Samuel's just kind of like, doesn't really have like a framework like for what it is. And so sometimes it just is like, he may be speaking to you even more than he's speaking to us. But what Samuel did was finally like got around someone who wasn't hearing from God anymore, but knew that God was speaking to Samuel.
Right.
And so, and he was able to like give Samuel like the posture of just like giving him the language that says like, speak, your servant is listening. And then it was like the ability that like, it was like that, that opened the doors. And so sometimes it's just like bringing older people like into the, what you think that you're hearing to help you test and approve that can really like help you see that God's speaking to you like actually way more than maybe he's even speaking to some of us.
So good. Amazing. Okay. I would love to just open the floor if there's anyone in the room that feels like they just have like a burning question or something that they want to just kind of go off the dome for us to respond to. We could probably take like, you know, four of these or so, four or five, but does anyone have like a burning question through this series that's come up for you? You can just stand up and rip your question. No worries. Yeah, Ava. Hi, Ava. She just asked, like, how do you envision the Holy Spirit? Is this like a connection? Is it like a force? Is it like a person? And I think the big thing that shifted things for me was reading Jesus in John chapters 14 through 16, where he refers to the Holy Spirit as he. And that's not like he as in like a male person, but that's he as in like an actual, like person. And I think it, like it's easier in our minds to conceptualize the Father and the Son. But when it comes to the Spirit, understanding the Spirit as a person, I've actually grown, this sounds kind of like strange and maybe it's like not scriptural, but it's just been my experience. Like I find that the Holy Spirit's so funny and like the sense of humor of God that is like the playful side of like me seeing something and just like having this sense of like God laughing at a situation like with me is like something that like takes God from like only like super, you know, hyper focused religious environments. And it's like, I actually kind of just like love hanging out with the Holy Spirit. So like we're like literally on a subway, like on my commute. And I just like, I'm with him and he's like a friend. He's like with me in the same way that like we would conceptualize Jesus with us is like the Spirit is like the same way. Yeah. That's a great question. Anybody else have one? Rising to the top? Yeah, Malachi, what you got? Yeah, that's great. So the question is like, okay, so concrete things, what are kind of practices of our life that we put into place that help us to hear God and to sense him better? So maybe we'll just each do one really quickly. Phil, you wanna go first?
Yeah, for me, it's like listening prayer. I think I just didn't have like a framework for that before moving to New York. Like prayer was always me talking. And so like, it's like, you sitting in a conversation with somebody wanting to get their advice, you're only telling them your problems ever, and you never let them like have a word in. And so then it's like, how are you expecting to hear from someone when you don't actually make any room for them to speak to you? So like that was like a really practical thing of just like literally sitting in my room saying, come Holy Spirit, I'm just like ready to hear what you have to say to me.
Yeah, that's great. I'll go next and then Regan, you can. Yeah, literally kind of on that point, I'd like journal in prayer every single morning. And I just literally have a time when I journal that I write down the question, God, is there anything that you want to say to me? So you like allow him to speak to you personally. And like often it's like, oh, I just like love you. Like I'm so proud of you. Like it's just this like river of like my identity and who I actually am. Like I'm forgiven. I'm set free from sin. I'm like a son of God, you know? But then I have a second section on that same piece of paper that I say, God, is there anything that you want to say to someone else through me? And so like some of you in this room have probably gotten a text message from me of like a specific thing that I just sense God wanted me to like deliver to you. So I just make a rhythm of it, not just like, yeah, maybe God will want to deliver a message through me. I just open space every day to be like, if you want to, I'm willing. You know what I mean? And then doing it, you know? So, yeah. Do you have anything, Regan?
Yeah, I think for me, it's consistency in God's word. I think I even just think back to being in middle school and starting this practice with my best friend and us just like checking in on each other and doing this. And now, since then, I've like done this almost every day, just like spending time in his word and then learning to pray his word, learning to like open the Bible and pray, just pray what's there. When I don't know what to pray, I just like pray the words of scripture. And I think that has like grown me closer to God and able to hear his voice more than anything else.
That's good. Okay, a couple more. We're getting short on time, but we'd love to have a couple more if we've got them. Yeah, Josh Neiman, and then we'll come over here.
Yeah, I think there was like a very specific time when the Holy Spirit spoke to me really clearly, and I chose something else, and then expected that God would honor that choice, and then just like spent years of my life pursuing something that he never asked me to pursue, and then like was wondering why I wasn't hearing from him in other areas of my life. And so wow. It's like, that's been like, it was like a really difficult thing for me to recognize that it was actually like disobedience from like years ago that I didn't repent for and like didn't like acknowledge that was like the reason why I was having such a hard time like encountering the Holy Spirit. Mm.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I've got a story for you, Josh, too. You can come and find me after. Rachel had one over here as well. That's great. Yeah, so Rachel said, like, how would you... how do you in prayer center your mind? Like when your mind, you feel like your mind just like runs all over the place when you try to sit down and pray. First off, I just want to say, Rachel, that is like the common experience like for me in prayer. And I love this quote from Dallas Willard. He's like a spiritual formation guru. But he said like every time that your mind drifts in prayer is an invitation for you to bring yourself back to his presence. And the cool thing about that then is you don't have to get frustrated at yourself. It's like every time that you get distracted or every time you start, your mind starts thinking about homework, or you start thinking about that book, you start thinking about that boy or that girl or whatever. It's like, that is like this fluttering invitation for you to come back. So I would say the biggest thing is like just the practice of doing that, that even if your entire time of prayer is just 5 minutes of noticing a thing, coming back to God. Noticing a thing, coming back to God. Noticing, like, if you just, like, squirrel God, squirrel God, squirrel God. Like, if that's your whole prayer time, you're actually training up something really important within you that the more that you do that, the more that you learn how to train your attention on him. Because, like, this isn't natural. And we live in a world that wars against our focused attention to anything, much less God. So this is like something that is like really good to continue to practice. But I'm sure Haley's got some wisdom that she's just going to download you all of her wisdom as well. Okay, let's do just one more question. Do we have like one more in the room? Yeah, Liam, what you got? He asked, how come some people have certain gifts of the Spirit and other people have others? Like, what's up with that? I have a really quick answer, just a short one that Leon, I can go deeper with you too. I don't know if you missed the week on the gifts of the Spirit, but I'll send you a podcast link, one. But two, I actually think that that reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is maybe an inaccurate reading, or maybe just less than all that's there. I think that what Paul is saying in the list of the spiritual gifts is that these are the things that the Holy Spirit does through a person. So it's like, it could be prophecy, it could be healing, it could be miracles, it could be whatever. But I don't think we're meant to read that list and say, which ones do I have and which ones don't I have? Like, I could never pray for healing and it actually work because I just don't have the gift of healing. I think sometimes God wants to use all of the gifts in your life if you're open to it. But at the same time, we don't like force God to do something through us. We just have to be available to him. So I would say some people that you're like, oh, that person definitely has the spiritual gift of like da 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 da. I would say that they've just spent a good amount of time saying, God, you can use me this way. I'm available to you. But that doesn't mean that they're like disqualified from those other ones moving through them. And then I would say, we can talk about this later, but there's a confusing, like a Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then Paul in Romans chapter 12 gives another list of gifts Or he actually doesn't use the phrase spiritual gifts. He just used like you have the gift of like leadership or like whatever. And that list is way more like personality trait kind of driven. So there are some things that you're just like wired in that we'd say like, oh, you're gifted for that. But then I'd say there are like the gifts of the Spirit that I believe if you're filled with the presence of Jesus, you actually have access to the entire gamut. Is that do you guys have anything else to say? I'm sorry, I kind of riffed.
Yeah, and depending on like your context, like you may need to like step into other gifts that aren't nearly as present. Like a guy in our church named Davey Ingram talks about this, where it's like he grew up in a church that had like a lot of like prophetic voices, and so like he didn't grow up like doing a lot of prophecy like in the church. But then when he came to our church, it wasn't as like there wasn't as many people that were like practicing the gift of prophecy. And so he was able to like step in and like use prophetic gifts in a way that he didn't need to as much in his last church context. And it's because like we're here like for each other. Like we're here to like build up the entire body of Christ in the same way you don't go to the gym and only work out your arms. Like you also need to work out the rest of your body. So
true. Don't skip leg day. Yeah, basically. Exactly. Okay. Guys, that's all that we have time for. Love you guys deeply. If you have other questions and thoughts, please, please, please write them down. Bring them to us. Bring them to your leaders. But that's all we have time for. Love you guys. Thanks for being here. We're going to kick off a brand new series next week. It's going to be amazing. We'll see you guys then.